All right, welcome to Lecture 67 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We have completed Part 4, the Revolution and the Founding, and now we are moving into Part 5. And at the end of today's lecture, I will tell you what the title of Part 5 is going to be. And so today is a little bit of a mystery lecture. I'm not giving it a title, and I'm not giving the part a title quite yet, because I want to keep you in suspense. What is the title going to be? It's almost like doing history through art. All right. So anyway, to set the stage here for this particular part of our story, I want to take you back to the United States arriving as a truly independent country in the world and remind you of the four great accomplishments of the Founding Fathers in giving birth to the United States. So what did they do? I got some typos on here and I'll fix them as I go. All right, so the first thing that we have known ever since the beginning of the class where we started working on anchor facts is they declared independence. And so we have had that as an anchor fact of our American history program and flag, and right there it is right there, right? On our timeline of American history from the start. All right, so when we're talking about American history, we're talking about a country that basically announced itself to the world in 1776. But then the founders had, it's not enough to tell everybody in the world that you want to have a country, especially if you are a set of colonies that belong to another country. And so that country is not going to appreciate you saying that you are independent, and that indeed was the case. And so the British tried to prevent the actual independence of America, and there was a revolutionary war. So the second of the great accomplishments of the Founding Fathers was to fight for independence in the Revolutionary War. All right, and then once they had done that, well, the job was still not done. That's why historians sometimes call what came next the critical period. And so they had to, I did this quickly, so I had to put some typos in there. So they had to unite under the Constitution for independence as well. All right, so they had to say, oh, it's not going to be good enough if we have 13 separate states. We have to agree to create a real single country, which they did. And then, I don't know why I had all these hides in here. They maintained independence throughout what we call the founding era. All the way through to James Monroe. And what was that last? What the heck? What was that last thing that James Monroe was famous for doing that was the final punctuation mark of independence? It's not too hard to remember if you know his name. Pretty easy to know what he had to say. Of course, I'm going to have to go and fix this meeting center noise. Just a sec. I forgot to change that earlier. Let me come back now and give Wyatt a chance to answer, since he was ready to answer. So, Wyatt, what did James Monroe do to maintain independence?
He made the Monroe Doctrine.
The Monroe Doctrine, exactly. That was the last thing that we touched upon. Okay, so you can see throughout this list that there is a repeating key word. The biggest key word, all but one, in American history. What is it? Jeremy?
Independence.
Independence. Okay, perfect. All right, so as we trace this story of American history through to the present and where we are now, I think that we will gain a real appreciation for why the Founding Fathers were so keen to maintain independence and what that means, what it is to be independent. It's such a wonderful theme, and it's something that we've been talking about because it's not just for countries. Independence is not just for countries. It's also for individuals. Independence is a virtue that individuals can practice as much as countries. It's very important to understand it. So let's remind ourselves here of this key word. Because if there's a key word that we should know, yeah, amendment is a good key word, and writ is a good key word, but boy, I would trade all of those other ones for independence. So, what is independence, guys? What is this thing they were doing? When they declared it, they fought for it, they united for it, they maintained it. My gosh, what is this thing? Independence. If you had to stand on one foot and explain to somebody what is independence, what would you say? To be independent means... dot, dot, dot. What would you say? Quickly, as you're losing your balance. On one foot, what would you say? Abby, go ahead.
To be independent means you're not dependent on others.
Yeah, no, because now we have a definition that has the same word inside of it. You got to be careful about making definitions like that. Okay, dependent, independent, they can't be in the same definition. So to be independent means, Anna, what would be another way of saying it?
To stand alone and take care of yourself.
All right, not bad. See, you could do that on one foot. Okay, quickly, Patrick, stand up on one foot and balance and say, independence is... go. Say it. What did she just say? What did she just say? Anna, please do it before Patrick loses his balance.
To stand alone and take care of yourself.
To stand alone and take care of yourself. Patrick, repeat it.
Stand alone and take care of yourself.
Okay, thank you. Everybody should be able to say that. Or I can say it. I don't keep my balance very well, so I'll make it even shorter. Independence is standing on your own two feet. Huh, that's funny, because I was talking about standing on one foot. So, independence is standing on your own two feet in the world, right? As opposed to when you're a baby, you can't do that, right? Your mommy's carrying you around in a sling. And when you're a little kid, what are you always asking mommy to do? When you're at the supermarket and when you're going places, Abby, what are you asking mommy to do?
Pick you up.
Pick me up, mommy. Carry me. I'm tired. I can't do it myself. Exactly. And then, well, you're becoming more and more grown up, more independent. That means you start walking around on your own. But you're still a child. So, especially when you're walking in the parking lot, what's a good idea to do? Even though you're walking on your own two feet. Jack's probably too grown up for this right now. But you know, back when you were seven, Jack, what would it have been a good idea to do?
Look for cars coming.
Yeah, but you're not going to walk through parking lots like at the grocery store all by yourself at age seven. What are you going to do?
Hold my mom's hand.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, go with your parent. So you see how you're kind of evolving there, right? You're starting to be more and more independent. And of course, you know, by now, a tall guy like you, you're probably going to walk through the parking lot by yourself. You're starting to be more apart, more separate, more on your own until you are an adult and you are ready to stand on your own two feet. There you go. So that's what independence is, being standing on your own two feet. Now, that's just kind of a way of speaking, right? When I say stand on your own two feet, is that really what independence means? That's kind of an expression. What does it mean to stand on your own two feet? What would be a better definition working from that? That's kind of a good place to start. That's the I'm really having a good time with this one. That's the standing on one foot definition. Standing on your own 2 feet. Come on, am I the only one laughing here? What is the more complete definition of independence? What would it mean? What does it mean as a human being, right? To stand on your own 2 feet. You're human. What do you have to be able to do on your own? Without mommy's help. Without daddy's help. What do you have to be able to do to be an independent person? There's a good question, because you need to know this to be your own person. Abby?
Well, you have to be able to stand, go places, make decisions, and stay out of trouble, or at least get yourself out of trouble without your parents helping you.
All right. Decisions and actions are a part of it. And making decisions is part of what? What's that thing that you have to be able to do with your own mind? Not somebody else's. Abby?
Thinking?
Yeah, you've got to be able to think for yourself. That's the main thing about independence, is the thinking part. Think for yourself. Define your own values. That means choose for yourself what you think is the right thing to do, as Abby was saying about not getting into trouble and so on. As a grown-up, you got to figure that out for yourself. And then you have to act. So three things. Thinking for yourself, choosing your own values, and acting on your own. That's a big responsibility. That's why we don't throw you out of the house when you guys are 7. Because you're not ready yet. You guys are lots of trouble, but we keep you around. Us parents, us grown-ups. Okay, because you're not ready yet. We've got to teach you more, give you more skills, give you that capability of being an adult. So you've got to be able to do those things. All right, everybody tomorrow, I'm sure, will be able to tell me those three traits of an independent person. Jennifer, do you need to review them, or can you just quickly tell me those three traits of an individual person, an independent person? Think for yourself, that's number one. Okay? What's number two?
Decisions.
Yes, but then we're going to split that up. You have to decide your own, what is it, or choose your own. Like, for instance, whether to eat pizza or broccoli. That's a kind of food. That's the kind of food which is important to keep your body going. What else? What kind of friends you're going to have? Maybe what kind of person you're going to marry? What are all those things? Friends, persons that you love, food that you eat, movies that you go to see. What are those examples of?
Thinking.
Well, yes, they are indeed. But actually, there's a special name for that kind of thought, for that kind of thing that matters to you, that supports your life. Abby?
Decisions.
Yeah, they're called values. The word we're looking for here is values. So, you have to think for yourself. That's number one. Patrick, you have to choose your own. What was the word that I just said? Right now, he's having trouble focusing. That's the thinking for yourself part. Values. Okay, somebody help me with number three. Then once you have chosen your values, what do you have to do? Do you just sit there and say, I like pizza? What do you have to do? What?
Pursue them.
Pursue them. Nice. Act in the world. Call Domino's and get the pizza. And pay Domino's with your credit card. And balance your checkbook. And make sure you have enough money for pizza next week. And so on. Right? So that's what it is to be a grown-up person, an independent person, is to be able to do these three things. Think for yourself. Should I eat pizza or broccoli? Choose your values. I'm going to have pizza this week. And act. Call Domino's. Okay? And presumably eat broccoli some days also. All right. So, get it? Think. Value. Act. As your own person. Okay, so now, let me come back to this. Why was it such a big deal for the founding fathers to be independent? To think, value, and act for themselves. Why was it such a big deal? Why does independence just keep jumping out at us as this most important thing about America? Everybody should be independent, but why did America especially have to be independent? Abby?
Because their mother country was being a tyrant.
Okay, that's a good answer. Well, that's a really good answer because to be dependent usually means to rely on mommy. And if mommy's a tyrant, then yeah, you better learn how to be independent. I doubt anybody's mommy here is a tyrant. But you know, the mother country of America was a tyrant. That's a good one. That's true. But more than that, nobody in the world, anywhere at all, believed in individual rights except Americans. So that's the definition. That's when you really need to be independent. When you've done your own thinking, you've chosen your values, and you need to act in this world, and the entire world is against you. It doesn't get more important than that, the need to be independent. Imagine that. It's such an amazing thing. It's just hard to really appreciate how incredible the founding fathers were. So these are their four great accomplishments for independence. But what we are going to see as we proceed in the story is being independent is very important to having a republic. In a world where people don't believe in rights. But it's not enough. It's not enough just to be independent to have a republic. That's why I said earlier, I think I quickly blurted it out. Independence is probably our second most important word. There's something that independence is for. What was it in this story? What did the founding fathers think that whoopsie. If you're going to come back, you got to make sure you mute yourself immediately. So, what was independence for? That's the question. Why did America need to be independent? What's the most important key word in the Declaration of Independence? What's that really, really famous phrase inside of the Declaration of Independence? An immortal phrase. What did the founder say? The governments are to protect people's rights to three things. Abby?
What?
What are the three things? Anna's got it. I'll let Anna do it. Anna.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All right. Okay. So those are individual rights. That's the thing you have to have in order to have a republic, is rights. You have to have the idea that individuals have rights. And those rights are inalienable. Again, another key word. So many words, if we're not careful, they slip by us. And, well, we let ourselves be kind of a woozy person. A person that hears words and doesn't really try to understand what they are. It's a very bad idea. The founders were very precise in their thinking. They weren't woozy. When they said, you have rights, They said you have a very special kind. They're individual, and they are inalienable. So what did they mean? Your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness, those things are what? They are inalienable? Abby?
An individual, that means that each person has...
Yeah, they are, and they're exactly, they are a part of each person, they are a part of you. And they can't be separated from you because they are a part of you. You take them everywhere, no matter what, no matter when, they are part of you. Because of that, the government is supposed to protect them. Okay, so this is the greatness of the founding of the United States. This is what's so special and different from anything else that has ever been in all of history. However, sadly, like I said, in order to have rights, you have to understand. In order to be independent for rights, you have to understand what rights are. And even at the beginning of the story of America, there were misunderstandings. Even at the beginning, when the founding fathers, who were clearer than anybody else ever had been about rights, were not completely clear. And thus, were not completely able to make a perfect republic. In particular, as we have talked about already, and which we are slowly going to have to examine in detail now, there was a deeply disturbing problem in life in America. It was everywhere, and everywhere else it hardly mattered, because nowhere else did people really believe in rights. But in America, this thing was completely against rights. And therefore, you couldn't have them both. You couldn't say, we believe in the pursuit of happiness of every individual. Oh yeah, except we also have this thing. So, as we're going to see, it has to get resolved. And this thing is... Wyatt Henry?
Slavery.
Exactly. Okay. So, we're going to see in this next chapter of American history that this... Now, when you have this, today's a great day for making sure we understand certain words and introducing you to special words. When you have one idea, rights, and you have another idea, slavery, and those two ideas collide with each other, and you see that you cannot have them both. Does anybody know what that's called? When you run into this kind of problem? Here, I'll give you guys another example of this kind of problem, where you're trying to say one thing, and then you say another thing, and you find out, oh, wait a minute, they collide, and they don't make sense together. They don't work together. Okay? So you could say, I like chocolate ice cream better than vanilla ice cream. And then you say, I like strawberry ice cream better than chocolate ice cream. Now watch, are you paying close attention? And then you say, I like vanilla better than strawberry. Do you see what I just said? Did you see that I just made a big mistake? Think about that. The three ice cream flavors. What did I just say? Wait, I'm going to write it on the board. I'm going to write it on board. New. Okay. So, here's one. I like chocolate better than vanilla. Number two. And I like strawberry better than chocolate. So far, is there a problem? You just, oh no, that makes perfect sense, right? And I like, now I gotta keep my thing sorted out here. I like vanilla better than strawberry. All right, did I do that right? Let's see here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I did it right. Okay, so what just happened? What did I end up saying? Does this make sense, these three statements? Do they go together? Are you catching why they don't make sense? Jeremy, can you tell that they don't make sense? Why don't they make sense?
Because you already said that you like strawberry better than vanilla.
Okay, right, exactly. Okay, so over here, I said that strawberry is better than chocolate, is better than vanilla. So over here, these two statements, what did they say about strawberry and vanilla? What did they say about strawberry and vanilla? Which one do you like best with those two sentences? Abby?
You like strawberry the best.
Okay. And then the third sentence, what did you say?
You said that you like vanilla better than strawberry, which you think is better than chocolate, which means you like vanilla better than chocolate. But at first you said, I like chocolate better than vanilla, so you're being a hypocrite. And so-
okay, so, yeah. Now, hypocrite is a tricky word, but basically you're saying something that doesn't make sense. Okay, so there's a word for this. A really special word, because this is a mistake in thinking. And philosophers have a special word for that. And Anna knows what it is. Anna, what's the word for this?
Contradiction.
This is a contradiction. Okay. So, today Patrick is going to do a writing assignment about this contradiction, to explain that he understands this. And I think everybody here should do it. It's a good logic puzzle, right? So you cannot say these three sentences together because you end up saying two opposite things. You end up saying at the same time, I like chocolate better than vanilla, and I like vanilla better than chocolate. At the same time. Now, you can't say that. Not at the same time. So, this is a contradiction. Now, you cannot say, here's another contradiction. You cannot say, I believe in individual rights, and I believe in slavery. You cannot have them both. So this is what's called a contradiction. At the beginning of the story of America, there was a contradiction. And it had to get resolved. That's what we're going to start looking at over the course of this next period in our story here. How the contradiction of slavery in a republic was resolved. It had to be in order to keep having a republic. All right? So we'll get there. A lot of good words today. So when we come back tomorrow, we should work on that word independence again, make sure everybody's happy with that one. And we got to work on this word contradiction and making sure we understand that rights and slavery is a contradiction, and that you can't do that. That's an incorrect thought. They don't go together. And therefore, when you have a contradiction, you've got to fix one or the other. Of course, which one do you have to fix? Not the one that's right. You have to fix the one that's wrong. Abby, which one do you have to get rid of, rights or slavery?
Slavery.
Of course. Okay. So we will come to that. Okay. That was a pretty heavy, good, effortful lecture there on some important words. And it's good for us to take the time to work on them. And I think that if we get these down really well, that it will turn out really good. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.